So glad that we can worship the Lord together again. This morning, if I have to put a title to what I'm going to share this morning, I just want to use an example in the Old Testament to encourage each other how we can serve the Lord faithfully and diligently. I don't think it's any earth-shattering message, okay? So the story that I want to share with brother and sister is the story of Samuel, okay? We have a lot of Samuels in our midst, right? So I'm sure Samuel is a very familiar character. But as I was flipping through the Bible about the story of Samuel, I was really surprised to find that actually there aren't that much in the Bible about Samuel. I don't know if you agree with me. You know, sometimes we thought that, you know, there are two books in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. They are pretty long books, right? So there got to be a lot of material about Samuel. But as I was flipping through it, there aren't that much. Honestly, there aren't that much, you know. I was quite surprised. You know the birth of Samuel, right? How his mother Hannah was praying to God for a child. And that's in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, right? So God answered her prayer. So she has a child, and she named him Samuel. And then after he was weaned, that she brought him into the temple, right? So that's how Samuel was born. Now that's what's in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. Then in chapter 2, we read about Hannah's prayer to God, right? And then in chapter 3, we learn about the young boy Samuel, how he was serving the Lord in the temple. When we say the temple, actually it wasn't the temple of Solomon, okay? It was just the tabernacle in Shiloh, okay? So Samuel was serving the Lord as a young boy. And you remember the story, right? We all love the story because God spoke to Samuel. And one night as he was about to sleep, and God said, "Samuel, Samuel." Then he thought it was Eli calling him. So he ran all the way to see Eli and said, "Here I am. What do you want from me?" Right? So and Levi said, "I didn't call you, so go back to sleep." And three times, he repeated three times. Right? Only on the third time, Levi realized it was really the Lord calling him. So he said to Samuel, "Samuel, if you hear someone call you Samuel, Samuel, you said, Lord, here I am, your servant heareth." Okay? So that's how we hear about that story. So that's in chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. We all love that story. And then the next time the Bible mentioned about Samuel is in chapter 7 already. Chapter 7, this morning we are going to share on chapter 7. As we go into chapter 8, okay, let's turn to the Bible. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 8. Okay, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1. Verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass when Samuel was old." Chapter 8, oh, he's already old, come on. Now you can see, in verse 1, "Now it came to pass when Samuel was old." It's only chapter 8. You see, there aren't that much material about Samuel in the book of Samuel. That's what I meant. You know, we all thought that book of Samuel was so long, right? 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. But surely, there aren't that much. So, I was thinking, you know, why? How come the Lord didn't record a lot of material about Samuel so that we can learn from him? There are only two stories. In chapter 3, a story of Samuel as a boy. Chapter 7, when Samuel was an adult serving the Lord. And that's it. And then chapter 8, verse 1, he's old already. Right? So I thought, okay, there must be a reason, right? There must be a reason. So I thought, when these two stories, probably the Lord chose them to record them in the Bible, they are really representative. You know, the first story represents how Samuel as a young boy served the Lord. And the second story was the story of Samuel, how he served the Lord as an adult. And these are representatives. And it's typical of his service. So you don't need to hear a lot about him. All you need is just two stories, and you can tell how he served the Lord the rest of his time. So because they are representatives, so they are important, right? If they are important, that we should all study them. So this morning, we are not going to study chapter 3. We are going to study chapter 7 and see how he served the Lord and see if you agree that it is a pattern that not only Samuel followed, it's a pattern that we should also follow as well. Okay? So let's turn to chapter 7 of Samuel now. Okay? Now, chapter 7 is a long story, so I need someone to help me. Kevin, would you like to help me? Chapter 7, can you read for us chapter 7, verse 2 to say 7? Read aloud, can you please?
1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 2 to 7. So it was that the ark remained in Kiriath Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods of the Ashtoreth from among you. Prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines.
Thank you. Can I ask Samuel to continue, verse 8 to 12?
And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry to Jehovah our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to Jehovah. And Samuel cried to Jehovah for Israel, and Jehovah answered him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines advanced to battle against Israel. And Jehovah thundered with the great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomforted them. And they were rooted before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them, as far as below Beth-Kar. And Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, and said, hither to Jehovah.
Thank you. This is what we will be reading for now. Okay. Before we go any further, we need to understand the background of this story first. In verse 2, it starts by saying, so it was that the ark remained in Kiriath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years. What is the background of this? I said earlier, okay, chapter 3 of 1 Samuel is about the young boy Samuel, how he served the Lord in the temple. And then chapter 7 is when he served the Lord as an adult. So in between you have chapter 4 to 6, right? 4 to 6. 4 to 6 is about a battle. About a battle between the Philistines and the Israelites. So in these three chapters, Samuel wasn't mentioned. So I'm not sure where he was at the time. And I'm not too sure the timing of that battle either, okay? But the 4 to 6 is a battle between Philistines and Israelites. In that battle, it was a fierce battle. The Philistines defeated the Israelites. Okay, so you'll probably be surprised. The Philistines defeated the Israelites. The Israelites thought, how come the Lord doesn't help us to win this battle, right? So they thought, maybe if we bring the Ark of the Covenant out to the battlefield, the Lord will be with us, and we will win the battle. So that's what they did. They went to Shiloh, took the Ark of the Lord, and took it to the battlefield. You would have thought that, oh, the Lord will help them to win the battle. But in fact, they continued to lose. So they lose the battle so badly that the enemy, the Philistines, even captured the Ark of the Lord. That was really shameful, right? The enemy, the Philistines, took the Ark of the Lord and took it to their temple and put it there, right? So you can see the Israelites very miserable. And it's in that battle that Eli's two sons were killed. So Eli's two sons would have been adults by then because they can go to battle, right? So how long is the time lapse between chapter 3 and the battle in chapter 4? I don't know, but it has to be some time, right? I don't know how long. But at least those two sons were soldiers, and they were killed in the battle. So when the news of the battle came back to Eli, that the Israelites were losing the battle, and his two sons were killed, and the Ark of the Covenant were captured by the enemy, Eli fell from his chair, and he died. That fulfilled the prophecy that the Lord told Samuel, chapter 3, right? In one day, Eli and his two sons will die at the same time. So all three of them died on the same day. So the Philistines won the battle. They took the Ark of the Covenant, took it to their temple. But the Lord punished the Philistines severely. They were so afraid, they returned the Ark of the Covenant to the Israelites. Okay? When the Ark of the Covenant returned to the Israelites, they put it in this place called Jerichirim. They were afraid to bring it back to their midst. So they put the Ark of the Covenant at this mountainous place called Jerichirim. And in verse 2 it says, it was there 20 years. Now, that's only time reference we have, 20 years. We don't know how many years lapsed between Samuel as a boy and the battle, but we know that after the battle, when they returned the Ark of Covenant to Israel, it has been 20 years already. So even if chapter 3 and 4 happened in the same year, and even if Samuel was only 10 at the time, now in chapter 7, Samuel would be at least 30, right? Now if Samuel was 10 and there were a few years after the Lord talked to Samuel, and then there were another 20 years afterward, then Samuel at chapter 7 would have been in his 30s or 40s. So that's roughly how old Samuel was at the time. And you can see that during that period of time, at least than 20-somewhat years, the Bible did not tell us how Samuel served the Lord, right? The Bible was silent. But amazingly, there was this verse in verse 2 kind of give us a hint of how or the effect of Samuel's service to the Lord. In this verse it says, so it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there for 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Brother and sister, what do you mean by the house of the Lord? The house of Israel lamented after the Lord. What it meant was the house of Israel returned to the Lord, basically, in simple words. They returned to the Lord. Now, brother and sister, that's really amazing. Even though the Lord was silent in his 20-somewhat years of service, but the Lord make a statement, a very confirming statement about his service. The house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Brother and sister, remember this is the background of this time is the book at the time of the judges. When we think about the time of judges, the time of judges, we always think about the time of judges being the time when the Israelites were at the lowest spiritual condition. And at the end of the book of Judges, it says that the Israelites were without king, and everybody does according to what he wants. So they don't even respect God. And especially when you read the last few chapters of book of Judges, you'll be very dismayed how they could have deteriorated to such a low, low spiritual condition. And it is at this low condition, the Lord confirming Samuel's service, and he said, the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. You know, that gave me great comfort. The comfort is, when we serve the Lord diligently, Men may not notice you. Other people may not notice you. But the Lord remember. That's very important, brother and sister. The Lord knows what you are doing. The Lord knows how we diligently serve Him. Even though other people may not know it. The Lord knows and the Lord confirm it. Just like the Lord confirmed Samuel's service, that the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. You know, that is very, very comforting and very, how should I say it? It is more than any other reward that we can receive. You know, today, when we do things, we want reward, right? But when the Lord said, the whole house of Israel lamented after the Lord, there's no greater reward than that. A confirmation from the Lord. You know, brother and sister, that's our attitude in serving the Lord. We are not doing it as a show and tell. No, we are not. We are serving the Lord because we know that this is after the heart of the Lord. You know, this is how Samuel served the Lord. He doesn't care if other people notice. He doesn't care if he got rewarded by the people. As a matter of fact, you know, the people of Israel really gave him a lot of heartbreaking things, you know. But when the Lord said the house of Israel lamented after the Lord here, it is a very strong statement, a very strong statement. How did he serve the Lord? How did he serve the Lord that created such an effect on the people? That's something that we need to learn from this chapter, brother and sister. In verse 3, it says, Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Asherahs from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. Brother and sister, this is how He taught the children of Israel. You know, when He taught them this way, surely He believed in what He was teaching. He wouldn't just tell one thing and He will do something else. No. When He taught the children of Israel this way, to serve the Lord, and that's exactly how He served the Lord. You know, before we analyze what He said, brother and sister, so often we like to be able to be a teacher, right? We like to be able to stand up here and share. This is, you know, brother and sister, if you ask me honestly, I really am afraid, you know. I told Timothy, you know, don't ask me to speak too much, you know. I can, I'm not like you, I'm not as eloquent as you. So that's how I tell Timothy not to put my name down too often. But, you know, today men often likes to be stand up, you know. Even though we may not be able to stand up here to speak, but we will try every opportunity to teach, you know, to show people that, you know, I know something about the Bible. You know, that's why, that's man's attitude. But when we study the book of the life of Samuel, you will see that, you know, Samuel was a very humble person. He did not just teach. You know, at the end, I will go over a couple more verses that we haven't read this morning. But, you know, if you know Samuel, if you study his messages, you'll see that Samuel wasn't someone who wants to stand out among his people. No, he's not. He wants to be a very humble person. He wants to just pursue the Lord with the rest of the children of Israel. That's his attitude. When he said here, in verse 3, Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts. You know, that's his message to the children of Israel. Return to the Lord with all your hearts. You know, that is always their problem. The children of Israel, their problem is they do not return to the Lord with all their hearts. They have too many hearts. You know, whenever they have some peace among the nations, they will turn away from the Lord. And that's why when Samuel said, return to the Lord with all your hearts, put away the foreign gods and the Asherahs from among you, that is an indication that they have just too many hearts. They don't just pursue the Lord. They also pursue all these foreign gods and Asherah. Asherah is just another name of another foreign god, that's all. So you can see that they don't pursue the Lord with a single heart. They pursue too many gods and they have too many hearts. Brother and sister, that is also our problem as well. We just have too many hearts. Just in case this doesn't work, we have the Lord. That's our attitude. Just in case it doesn't work, we still have the Lord. You know, brother and sister, that attitude is where our problem is. You know, we have too many ways to get around things. We think that we have too many interests and too many priorities. And the Lord is just one of the many priorities. The Lord is just one of many of my solutions. That's where the problem is. Brother and sister, I'm not saying this because I'm better than you. I'm just the same. I'm just as human as you are. Okay? So we are studying this chapter just to encourage each other. You know, when Samuel said, return to the Lord with all your hearts. You know, this is not something that is abstract. It is not something that is just theoretical. No, it really talks about our living, how we live our life in this world. We have just too many priorities. You know, we are pretty smart, you know. We just treat the Lord as our last resort. You know, if this doesn't work out, then I can always come back to the Lord, you know. That's our attitude. And that is really wrong. And that's what Samuel was telling the children of Israel. That is wrong. You must return to the Lord with all your hearts. And then he said later on in the same verse, prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve Him only. Brother and sister, I think this is something that is a great challenge to all of us, especially young people. You know, you may say, David, you are old, so you have already enjoyed life. So it's easy for you to say, but we still have a long way to go, you know. We still have a long way to go. And, you know, if I serve the Lord with all my heart, you know, what about my other priorities? What about my other, you know, treasures, you know? So we think we have that many things that we can pursue. And, well, it's not that I don't pursue the Lord. He's one of my many interests. You know, but if you come back to what Samuel is encouraging us, you know, return to the Lord with all your heart and serve Him only. I think this is a very important message to all of us, you know, from Samuel. You know, that's how he served the Lord for all these years. And that is why the children of Israel lamented after the Lord. The children of Israel returned to the Lord. It is not because of the teachings, brother and sister. You know, you can teach many good things, but if you cannot live what you are teaching, your teaching is very powerless. When you hear messages about seeking the Lord with all your heart and serve Him only, and if you just hear it in one ear and out the other ear, you know, it's not going to help you to return to the Lord. It's not going to help you to lament after the Lord. You know, we have to pay attention to these words. And this is not just words. This is a reminder of a living, how we should live our life. Living our life is very real. We are not talking about theoretical things. We are not just it's not just a teaching. It is how we live our life. If we live our life reflecting, seeking the Lord with all our hearts and serve Him only. You know, I always tell the Chinese group that if you fear the Lord will always honor those who fear Him. I've never seen a person that fear the Lord and the Lord will just ignore him. Never. If you seek after the Lord and if you fear him, the Lord knows. On the contrary, if you do not fear the Lord and you think you are smarter than the Lord, you think you can use the Lord as your last resort, brother and sister, you will suffer for it. And I don't want to see anyone to suffer. Brother and sister, you know, when we sing these hymns, nearer, nearer the Lord, it's not just words. It is a living. How you live a life reflecting nearer, nearer the Lord. If you really desire to have a living nearer the Lord, you need to know who the Lord is. When you utter these words, nearer to the Lord, are you really serious? Do you really mean what you say? Because he is a fearful God. He is a fearful God. He does not just accept lip service. It is a life that he is looking for. How we live our life. Brother and sister, that is how Samuel spent his last 30-somewhat years. Serving the Lord with all his heart. Not only the Lord giving this statement of confirmation, you can see the influence among the children of Israel. Brother and sister, today, if we follow the footsteps of Samuel and serve the Lord with all our hearts and serve him only, brother and sister, you will have this confirmation from the Lord. And this confirmation is more valuable than anything you can receive in this world. And this is so powerful among brother and sister. You can see that people around you, they are affected by your living. They are affected by your life. You know, it's easy to stand here and say a few words and utter a few words. But it is your living, your life that affects other people. It's not your teaching or your message that affects others. You know, today people are very smart. And I admit that. You know, all of you are very smart people. When you sit here, I don't think I can use words to change you. I don't think I can. It is only the Holy Spirit can change you. It is only other people's life that can change you. Word is pretty empty. So, brother and sister, when we see the life of Samuel, how he dedicated his life to serve the Lord, he served the Lord wholeheartedly and served him only, and you see the effect. The children of Israel return to the Lord. And this is the time of Judges. And when you read the book of Judges, you'll never expect something like this could have happened. Never. But it is real. In let me speed forward in verse 6. So they gathered together at Mizpah to water and pour it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord, and Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. I just want you to pay attention to this phrase. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. This word judge, let's not think of the word judge in today's terminology. It is not like what we think today. You go to the court of law and there's a judge sitting there to judge the people. No, that's not what we mean. When you read the word judge, think back to the book of Judges. That's what it meant. A judge is a leader among the Israelites. So when he said Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah, that means Samuel was leading the children of Israel at Mizpah. He's the leader there. That's what it meant. So you can see that this is still the time of Judges. You know, some Bible scholars tell us that, you know, the time of Samuel really is around the same time of Samson. In the time of Samuel, there's the war with the Philistines. And you'll remember the story of Samson. Throughout the life of Samson, the Israelites were always fighting with the Philistines. So you can see that this is roughly around the same time. Okay? Here you have Samson. Here you have Samuel. They are very different. Samson is a judge. We know that from the book of Judges. Here, Sam, in the 1 Samuel chapter 7, it says Samuel judged the children of Israel. He's a judge as well. And it also referred to it again later on in the same chapter. So you see that it's around the time of judges. And you will never expect something like this to happen. But surely, because of the faithfulness and how Samuel diligently served the Lord, you see this revival among the children of Israel. And the children of Israel lamented after the Lord. This is very amazing. You would have never happened. You would have never guessed that this could have happened in the book of Judges. But it did. In the same verse 3, other than when Samuel said, "Return to the Lord with all your heart and serve him only," Samuel also asked them, "Put away the foreign gods and Asherahs from among you." In other words, put away all the idols from among you. Brother and sister, the problem with the children of Israel is because they have too many idols. What are idols? Idols are not just those stone-crafted or wood-crafted images. No. Of course, they are idols. But they are not the only idols. Today, we don't have any visible idols among ourselves. But, brother and sister, if you ask ourselves honestly, I think we all have different idols in our hearts. I'm not referring to those TV shows, American Idols, okay? I'm really referring to things that capture our hearts. Things that take away the rightful praise of our Lord. You know, we have so many different interests, different pursuits, and different priorities. They are our idols because they took away the rightful praise of the Lord. Because our hearts should be all for the Lord. Just like what Samuel said here, return to the Lord with all your hearts. If we cannot return to the Lord with all our hearts, obviously we have idols in our hearts. You know, when I think about idols, I immediately think of the first epistle of John. The first epistle of John is one of the very last written words from the Lord. Okay, one of the very last. And at the end of the first epistle of John, it says, little children, remove all the idols from you. You know, this is how the epistle of John ends. You know, you may think this is so out of place from the rest of the teaching of the first epistle of John. But surely it's not. The reason why the brother and sister at John's time has so many problems is because they have too many idols. They have too many priorities and interests. Excuse me. It's the same with us today. We also have a lot of interests and different needs and different pursuits. And we cannot return to the Lord with all our hearts. And we cannot serve Him only. Brother and sister, that is what the message of Samuel is. You know, return to the Lord with all your hearts. Serve Him only. And put away all the idols from among you. These are the three things that Samuel wants the Israelites to do. Three very simple things. As I said at the very beginning, it is not something that's earth-shattering. It is so simple, but yet it's so hard for us to remember. Return to the Lord with all our hearts. Serve Him only and put away all the idols. Only these three things. You know, praise the Lord for this teaching. The Israelites were very blessed with a leader like that among them. You know, a leader that really came to the Lord wholeheartedly and served Him only, and there's no idol in him. You know, and this teaching really influenced the children of Israel. And that's why in verse 4, you can see the response from the children of Israel. Verse 4 says, "So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Asherahs and served the Lord only." You see, I don't think it's just words that change them. But when they see the the life of Samuel, how he reflects what he teach, that is what changed the Israelites. That's why the Israelites listened to him and they put away all the idols, and it says, and they serve the Lord only. You know, this is very amazing. If we can, you know, take these words to our hearts, meditate on these words regularly, I'm sure we will be really blessed by the Lord. Not only individually, but as a church as a whole, we will be really blessed by the Lord. And when people come into our midst, and they can really feel that the Lord is with us, because we serve Him only, and we don't have any idols in our midst. You know, as I said, you know, the children of Israel, they also have other attractions, other distractions, put it this way. But, you know, because of the leader, because of Samuel, they came back to the Lord and served Him only, and they put away all the idols. This is very powerful. Let's move on. Verse 5, and Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. You know, brother and sister, Samuel did not just stand there and teach. No. He considered himself one among the Israelites. He did not separate himself out from among the Israelites. He would diligently teach them and pray for them as well. When he prayed for them, that means he cared. You know, there are a lot of people that they can give you a lot of wonderful messages, but do they really care? That's what we want to know. But Samuel really cared. Not only he taught them to return to the Lord and seek the Lord and serve Him only, he prayed for them. You know, and he asked them to gather around and pray. So, brother and sister, prayer is very important in terms of serving the Lord. You know, prayer is something that people do not see, but it is a very important part of our serving the Lord. I'm really touched when I see so many young people come to the Tuesday night prayer meeting. I really am. And, you know, recently there are more young people than adults, than older folks, you know. I think we should learn from the young people. You know, prayer is something that is very important in serving the Lord. You know, some people have this misconception that, you know, only in when you are in desperate need, then you pray to the Lord. If you can, you know, don't bother the Lord, do it yourself. You know, this is how people we are. But that's not how the Lord wants us to feel, you know. When we pray to the Lord, it is not about bothering the Lord. When we pray to the Lord, we are seeking Him and we are serving Him only. When we pray to the Lord, we want to know if what our need is in line with what the Lord's need is. And when we pray to the Lord, we want to seek His will. That's what prayer is all about. When we pray, we do not just remember our need. When we pray, we remember each other's need. That's what a church is for. That's what prayer is all about. Prayer is not just about my need. Prayer is about brothers and sisters' need, and as well as the Lord's need. That's what prayer is all about. So, there's no service without praying. It's very important. If someone just seeking his own honor, if someone just seeking his own benefit, he will not pray. But if you are seeking the honor of the Lord, if you are seeking the benefit of the children of the Lord, you will pray for them. That's what Samuel is doing. Pray for the children of Israel. So let's not belittle prayers. Let's not look down on prayers. Prayer is serving the Lord, and prayer is very, very powerful. And you can see from here. When he prayed, Samuel asked the people of Israel gather at Mizpah so that he can pray for them. So in verse 6, they gather at Mizpah, and Samuel prayed for them, and they fasted that day and sat there. We have sinned against the Lord. That is the reaction. When we come to pray to the Lord opens our eyes and see that we have indeed sinned against Him. We are sinners. The fact that we can come to pray to the Lord is a privilege and an honor that the Lord has given us. It is not just a ritual, brother and sister. It's not a ritual. The Lord gives us His name as an assurance. When we pray to God, the Father in His name, our Father in heaven will listen to our prayer because of His name. This is very powerful. So, brother and sister, praying to the Lord is an honor and it's a display of God's power. It is that serious. It's that important. Brother and sister, when they gather around at Mizpah, when they pray to the Lord, they confess the sin. And when they confess the sin, Samuel, here it says, Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. In other words, Samuel ministered to them. You can see, this is, you know, if you just stop here and think about all this that we have just learned, Samuel taught them, return to the Lord with all your hearts. Serve Him only. Put away all the idols. And the children of Israel responded, yes, we'll put away all our idols and we will serve the Lord only. And then Samuel said, let's gather, have this huge prayer meeting. Let's pray. I will pray for you. And so they listen to Samuel and they gather around and they have this huge prayer meeting. And then Samuel prayed for them and they confess the sin. And Samuel ministered the word of the Lord to them. All these ingredients, if you look at them one by one, I think you can agree with me. This is all the ingredients that's needed for spiritual revival, right? Now they have all the necessary ingredients for spiritual revival. And sure, they have a spiritual revival right here. The whole house of Israel returned to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? That's very amazing. So you cannot say that Samuel's, all this 20 or 30 years of service is in vain. It's not. Even though the Bible was silent, the Bible didn't tell us too much about how he served the Lord. But you can see a spiritual revival from among the children of Israel. And that is a huge confirmation of how Samuel served the Lord. Brother and sister, as they have this spiritual revival, you think the enemy will just sit back and let them have a wonderful spiritual revival? Obviously not, right? So immediately follow, you see a battle. The enemies will not let them just sit quietly. Verse 7, when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the Lord of Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Of course they are afraid. Because history tells them that, you know, they are no match to the Philistines. Even at this day, they are no match to the enemies. You know, are you surprised? Are you surprised that when they have this wonderful spiritual revival, then the enemy came after them? Why should we be surprised? We should be surprised. Our enemy will not sit back when we pursue the Lord and we turn to Him wholeheartedly. Our enemy is not going to sit back and let us just enjoy a spiritual revival. So therefore, they have a spiritual, they have a battle there. So all this is just an analogy or a sign, you know, that, you know, the enemy is not going to just sit back, right? So how do they deal with this battle? They were afraid, and they were rightfully afraid because they are physically no match to the enemy. Verse 8, so the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that He may save us from the hand of the Philistines. Brother and sister, that is the right reaction. That's the right attitude. When they are afraid, they ask Samuel, do not cease from crying out to the Lord. And they know that only the Lord can tell them, can help them. So they asked Samuel to continue to cry out to the Lord. And Samuel was not frightened because of the battle. Samuel was not frightened because they were no match to the Philistines. Samuel was really someone who knows the Lord. And he realized that he needed to pray to the Lord. Not only he prayed to the Lord, verse 9, Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered them. Isn't that wonderful? That is a very beautiful verse. When the children of Israel asked Samuel, do not cease crying out to the Lord for us. As a leader, Samuel made a burnt offering and cried out to the Lord for the children of Israel. That is what a spiritual leader is supposed to do. He made a burnt offering. Two things that he did. One, he made a burnt offering. Secondly, he prayed to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord, right? We have just talked about praying to the Lord. At this critical stage, when you are facing a huge enemy, Samuel did not just sit down and try to come up with a battle plan. No, he did not. He prayed to the Lord. Prayer, as I said before, prayer is very powerful. You know, when you read further on how the Israelites defeated the Philistines, not because the Israelites were mightier or better soldiers than the Philistines. No. It's very clear in the Bible. It's not. It's the Lord answered their prayer. So, brother and sister, when we come to prayer meetings, when we come to pray to God, we come with faith. We come with assurance. Because we have the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that our Heavenly Father will answer our prayer. Just like the Lord answers the prayer of Samuel. It's just the same. You know, Samuel is no different than you and me. We are all human. We face difficulties. We face challenges. Samuel prayed to the Lord. We should also pray to the Lord. How Samuel looked up to the Lord for deliverance, today, we are no different. We think we are smart. We can come up with different battle plans. But at the end of the day, the Lord taught us. No, it's not all these battle plans. It's the Lord who helped us to defeat our enemies. We are no match to our enemy. We are no match to Satan. We pray to the Lord and He will deliver us. The second point that we learn from this verse is Samuel made a burnt offering. You know, the Lord answered his prayer not because of the burnt offering. But the burnt offering is a sign of something. The burnt offering, when we read the book of Leviticus, when we learn about the burnt offering, we know that it is just a symbol of what the Lord wants from us. That's in Romans chapter 12, a verse that we are all very familiar with. A verse that we are all very familiar with. My dear brothers, I beseech you, by the mercy of the Lord, offer your bodies, plural, as a living sacrifice to the Lord. It is holy and it is acceptable to the Lord, and it is your reasonable service. Brothers and sisters, that's the burnt offering that the Lord wants from us. It is not that animal that the Lord wants. It is you and me. It is our life, our bodies, as living sacrifice to the Lord. That's the burnt offering that Samuel is telling us. Brothers and sisters, you know, I said before and I said again, words are empty. How you live the words is what's important. You think that we can just pay lip service to the Lord? No, let's be real, okay? He's the Lord. He created the heaven and the earth. He created you and me. You think He can be fooled by our lip service? No. Let's get over this now. Let's live what we heard. Let's live what we have read. Make this word part of our life, to make our living a reflection of what we believe, what we truly believe. Let's not just pretend that we are faithfully and diligently serving the Lord. Let's not pretend. The Lord sees through us very easily. Let's confess our sin. Let's return to the Lord and serve Him wholeheartedly. After Samuel made this burnt offering and cry out to the Lord answered, and the Lord delivered them from their enemies. That's in verse 10 to 11. Now let's skip over to verse 12 now. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Sen, and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." You know, Samuel set up this stone and called this stone Ebenezer. What it meant is the Lord helping us. This is a stone of help. This is only one meaning of this stone. The Lord is our help. Brother and sister, remember this in our heart. We have a lot of different challenges and needs in front of us. But remember, the Lord is our help. Remember it very well. He is our help. But there's one more meaning to this incident. Ebenezer, I'm sure you are still with your Bible open. You look at chapter 5, verse 1. This name appears there as well. Chapter 5, verse 1. Then the Philistine took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Ashdod is where the Philistines, their own temple is, okay? So the battlefield was Ebenezer. It's at Ebenezer that the Israelites were defeated by the enemy. Not only were they defeated, they even have the Ark of Covenant being captured by the enemies. This is a place, Ebenezer was a place of shame, a place of defeat. And it is Ebenezer that the Lord is the name Ebenezer they put to the name of this stone. What it meant is, even though at Ebenezer it's a place of shame, a place that they were defeated, but it is there that the Lord cast away the shame. It's there the Lord give them victory. It's there the Lord give them help. Brother and sister, this is really amazing. Ebenezer is no longer a place of shame. It's no longer a place of defeat. It is a place of God's help. It's a place of God's glory being manifested. Brother and sister, this is really amazing. When you think about Ebenezer, how God turned our shame into glory, that is really amazing. Brother and sister, not only that, we're coming to the end. I want you to turn to the end of this same chapter. Chapter 7, verse 15. So Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. The word judge appear again. So that's why I said Samuel really is at the time of judges. And when we think about the time of judges, we would have never expected such glorious scene among the children of Israel. It is because of faithfulness and how Samuel served the Lord diligently that the Lord turned the chaos of judges into such a glorious incident. Verse 16, he went from year to year on a circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah and judged the Israel in all those places. In this verse, what it meant to us is Samuel did not just sit there comfortably. His service involved a lot of work, a lot of action. He had to go from place to place to minister to the children of Israel. Today, we don't have to minister from place to place. We are very comfortable sitting here to serve the Lord together. But even though on the outside, we are sitting here very comfortably, Let's not forget, serving the Lord does require some work, does require some effort, does require paying a price, making a sacrifice. So if you have to suffer for the Lord, I praise the Lord for you. That's what service is all about. Service is not just sitting back and enjoying life. Finally, in verse 17, it's also very eye-opening. 17, it says, "But he always returned to Ramah, for his home was there. There he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord." When I read this verse, when I was thinking about this verse, "But he always returned to Ramah, for his home was there," what went through my mind is, look, serving the Lord doesn't mean you have to sacrifice everything. You have to forget about your family life. A lot of time we have this misconception that serving the Lord, we have to give up a lot of things. If you read these words, it's not. The Lord remembers Samuel. He has a family. He has a home to go back to. So serving the Lord, you know, so often we talk about balancing between serving the Lord and our personal life. The Lord is not mean to us. We always thought that the Lord is very mean. No, He's not. When we serve the Lord remembers our need as well. The Lord remembers that we have a family to take care of. The Lord remembers we have a personal life to take care of. Remember this. This is very comforting. You know, this verse, even though it's very short, "He always returned to Ramah, for his home was there." The Lord remembers we have a home. We have personal life. The Lord cares about our personal life. Therefore, when we hear brothers and sisters saying that, "You know, I'm so stressed out in serving the Lord," there must be something wrong. You know, we shouldn't be stressed out serving the Lord. Like, look at Samuel. He wasn't stressed out. The Lord remembered him. He always returned to Ramah, for his home was there. The Lord cared about us. Brothers and sisters, the Lord cared. You know, this is very comforting. You know, when we read about this chapter, we always thought that, oh, the Lord asked us for this, the Lord asked us for that. You know, no, it's not. The Lord remembers us. When we serve Him wholeheartedly and serve Him only, the Lord also remembers our need. The Lord remembers our family. That is wonderful. If the Lord remembers your family, what more do we ask for? If the Lord remembers our personal need, what more do we ask for? The Lord will never shortchange any one of His children. He will never. He will never shortchange us. He will bless us abundantly. He will. Brother and sister, praise the Lord for this encouraging words. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we want to come and confess our sins. So often we thought that we make so much sacrifice in serving You, but we always forget that You minister to each and every one of us. You care of our need. You care of our family need. Oh Lord, I pray that You will keep this word in our heart. Let's serve You wholeheartedly and serve You only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.